You ready for a blessing tonight? All right, let me see your Bibles. Got them? All right, we're going to hear a message from God's Word tonight. And I've asked Brother Jonathan to come and preach to the church tonight. And Brother Jonathan, Anelia, great blessing to us. We appreciate all that they do. And they're very active, as you know, in our church and our teaching and training of young people and going out to the nursing home. And Jonathan is our visitation minister. He goes out and visits a lot, and not only Thursday and Saturdays, but he's always on the phone trying to contact people, getting them to God's house. And I appreciate him so much. Brother Jonathan, why don't you come, and God bless you, all right?
Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be here tonight. I notice my jacket is a little bit, it's getting bigger on me, and praise the Lord. One, I think there was a church member who approached me and tapped me on the shoulder, and, you know, it's like nothing right here. Praise the Lord for that, because I was in a process of losing weight, and had it not been for my pressure, you know, I'm not going to try to lose weight, but I was feeling something right here, like a surge of blood going up here all the time, and you know, I went to see a doctor last March and prescribed me a very strong medication for blood pressure. So praise the Lord, it has gotten better. My waistline used to be 40, now I'm down to 36. Slowly but surely, it's not, you know, it's hard to, not to eat, I have to say. It's very hard, but God has been good. And, you know, I work hard when... One time I was going out with Brother Derek, and he knows it. And I was stopping. I was having a difficulty of breathing. I was getting dizzy. And then I got home, and, you know, I think Brother Derek spoke to Danielle that I will be at the hospital that night. And surely it was enough. I was at the hospital. I went to the emergency room, and since then I was working hard, doing a lot of walking, you know, less eating. So eating a lot of vegetables, so praise the Lord. Not too much salt and not too much calories and carbohydrates, and boom, it went down. Praise the Lord for that. But turn your Bibles in the book of Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse number 8. And here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. In the nursing home late this afternoon, I spoke on one of the Bible characters named Dorcas. Maybe you have not heard her, but Dorcas is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our junior church, I was teaching them about the life of the Apostle Paul. So I'm doing a lot of character studying. And now tonight, we are going to study the life and legacy of Stephen. Stephen has the distinction of being the first to ever sacrifice his life for the cause of Christ. And his commitment to Christ was unwavering, and his devotion and was unending. He wasn't a superstar in his time. He wasn't like the Apostle Paul, or he wasn't like the Apostle Peter. He wasn't a pastor or an apostle, but he was simply a layman who served. He was a deacon. He was a deacon, and he is a servant of God who loved the Lord, and this is manifested in his witness. Well, I was doing the studying when I was asked by Pastor last week, that Sunday night, then I went, you know, started doing my studying right away, and then it finished Wednesday night, so took me a long time to study it. I was really blessed by the life of Stephen. He is a good example of witness. And let us notice some important things about Stephen. Number one, first let's look at the person of Stephen in verse number 3-5 of chapter 6 of the book of Acts. Stephen was one of the seven chosen by the early Christian church to deal with a dispute over the distribution of food to the needy. He was chosen, one out of the seven, he was chosen. There was a problem going on. The Grecian widows were complaining that they were neglected. So they chose seven people, and he was one of them. He was no doubt diligent and faithful in small things and willing to serve and be used of God. He was recognized by others as a servant and reliable. I think we need reliable worker right now in our ministry, in churches right now, not only in Community Baptist Church, but I believe we need reliable worker. You can't say, you know, you're going to serve the Lord this week, and then the following week you're not sure. We need a reliable worker that will really give up their time and serve the Lord. You know, in our ministry, we have days where, you know, on Wednesday night and then Thursday night, we have visitation program. And Saturday, it is a must. To be honest with you, Saturday, I understand that in America, it's a family time. You work Monday to Friday, and then Saturday, you know, weekend, you stay home, you're rested, and it's family time. But I thank God for our, you know, our church worker who spend and give their life on Saturday morning, and we go out visiting and knocking on doors, and praise the Lord for that. To God be the glory. And we need a reliable worker in the church. And Stephen was one of them. Reliable guy, a dependable guy. Stephen's character was an identifiable outward showing of the inward grace that Stephen had experienced in Christ. But what qualities or attribute made up his character? There are four that Dr. Luke, I believe that the writer of the book of Acts is Dr. Luke, and I did double check that, and I think he is the author of the book of Acts. So Dr. Luke pointed out in Acts 6:5 and 6:8, and we find four things that Stephen was full of. Stephen was full of, number one, faith. He was full of faith, totally controlled by faith, trusting and believing God every day. He was full of faith. Every day, I guess when he gets up in the morning, you know, he leans on the Lord. He trusts the Lord right away. There are days when I get up in the morning, I just don't feel good, and the problem is right in front of me right away. You know, sometimes it's hard to go to work when you don't have a car, when you depend on someone. And, you know, when you don't have to, right away, it's right on, you know, when I get up, I said, man, I got to find a way how to get to work. That is a problem. Sometimes you don't feel good. But you need to learn how to trust God. Sometimes when you get up in the morning, the problem is already right there. But this guy, he was full of faith. That's what the Bible says. He was full of faith. Trust God. Every day. And I think we need to trust God and believe God every day of our life. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, when you put God first in your life, when you get up in the morning, have your devotion. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I tell you what, your problem is going to go away. God is going to help you out. But if you put your problem ahead of you, then there's a problem right there. But if you put God first, have faith in God. That's one thing I learned. Have faith in God every day. God will bless you. God is good. So he is totally controlled by faith. Totally confident in God's control of his life. God is in control of his life. Praise God. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is going to bless you until the coming of the Lord. And that is a promise. Have faith in God. And how did Stephen get faith? And the only way, the only any of us can get a faith is from the Word of God. Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the fact that he was a man of faith tells us something. You know, I believe he reads the Bible. He reads the word of God. And very important to start our day reading the Bible every day. And, you know, the devil is always there when you get up in the morning trying to put discouragement in your mind, trying to put something in your mind right away. But you know what? When you read the word of God, the word of God will encourage you. No matter how deep is your problem. I tell you what, we all have problems in life. Those children downstairs in the junior church, I got the chance to talk to their parents. I mean, all the time, like this afternoon also. Some of their parents this afternoon, and I sense there is a problem in the family. You know, and I tell you what, we need to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and memorize the Bible. Very important when we memorize the Bible. We have to know the Scripture. This lady came to us last week and asking Brother Derek about the Scripture about marriage. And, you know, if you don't know on top of your head and say, you know what, you're going to come back next week. You know, I don't think she's got time to wait for you next week. You got to have something in your mind in store, the Word of God. All right? So, a man full of faith toward God, yielded to the spirit control, will be gracious toward others and manifest great spiritual power. Stephen was full of faith. All areas of Stephen's life were influenced by his belief in God and promises. You know, when a person is full of faith, it increases that they have allowed the mind of Christ to control the emotion, the financial, the moral, interpersonal, and spiritual aspect of their lifestyle. So, the Bible says he was full of faith. Second, he was full of the Holy Spirit. You know, a privilege of every believer. You know, Ephesians 5:8, the Bible says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You know, obeying God completely and submitting to God's leading is the way to be filled with the Spirit. You know, every believer, the Holy Spirit is resident. When someone got saved, and you know, I realized that they're a sinner and accept Christ as their own personal Savior, they have Jesus Christ in their heart right away. That's Bible. They have the presence of Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, so in every believer, the Holy Spirit is resident. But what he wants to be is president. He wants to be the president of your life. He wants to be in charge. You know, he wants to call the shots. You know, be in full control. You know, the Spirit of God, he wants to control you, to work in your life. Galatians 5:22, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, and all that stuff in Galatians 5:22. But you know what? The sad commentary in most of us Christians is that most of us can only be said to be full of ourselves. We are full of ourselves instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5:6, let's go there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. And here's what the Bible says. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against flesh. And this are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Verse 18, "But if ye led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." You know, the man full of Holy Ghost, if the Holy Spirit is really calling the shot in your life, the Holy Spirit is got a hold of you, you will serve. You will serve. That's just how it is. You will serve, and God will use you. Serve the Lord with gladness. What a privilege to serve the Lord. I tell you what, not too many people have that privilege. to serve the Lord, because you really need to prove it. You can't just come to the church and say, you know what, I want to be behind the pulpit. I want to lead the singing, or I want to do bus ministry. It doesn't work that way. All right? So the man full of Holy Ghost will serve. Will speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only will serve, but also will speak. And also will shine. Remember the story when Stephen was stoned to death? All right, he did not retaliate, but his face shined like the face of an angel. Praise the Lord! Not only that he is full of the Spirit, but also full of grace. Full of grace. Acts 6:8, the grace of God in the life of men. You know what? No matter what Stephen's situation, you know, he was helping the needy widows. He was helping. He was there. People are complaining. Grecian Jews, they were complaining that they're not being taken care of. The Hebrews are always being taken care of, but they were not. So, you know, you hear people complaining. Even at work, when you hear people complaining, it's just going to make you crazy. People always complain. People have short fuse. Last week, you know, when we were going home, this guy is very impatient behind us, you know, just, I couldn't believe it. People are just so very impatient. No matter what the situation, you know, Stephen was working with the needy people, and you hear all this complaining, all right, he was all right. You know, the angry accuser, he was accused, and also those evil executioner, those people who stoned him, but Stephen displayed the grace of God in his life. By the grace of God, he did not retaliate. He did not become angry by the grace of God. All right, he did not retaliate. He displayed the grace of God in his life. And praise the Lord for that. Not too many people are like that. I tell you, when you work with a lot of people who always complain, you just want to walk away. All right? Or someone is angry, cursing at you, you just want to go away. Or people will stone you. Sometimes you want to retaliate because that's human nature. But here comes a man of God, full of grace. Let's look at the grace of God in death of man. Stephen displayed the ultimate of Christ-like character, forgiveness of one's enemies, and even executioner. He was full of good works. People spoke well of Stephen because he was full of faith, full of the Spirit, and full of grace. Also, he is full of power. Acts 6:8. And full of power. God's promise in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's the promise of God. I'll give you power to share the word of God to people. He is full of power. When he was standing and trying to defend himself, right there, he was just preaching the word of God there. He's full of power. Yes, we can do it. I tell you what, we can share the word of God to people. We can talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes in the church, we have so many Moses that, you know, people will always say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm not a good talker. I'm not as eloquent as other people. I tell you what, you can always share the word of God to people. God will give you the power to do it. All right? God will give you the power to share his word. Also, secondly here, let's notice the preaching of Stephen. The preaching of Stephen. You know, the content, I kept saying content. The content, all right? You know, I was like rehearsing because I finished the message a while ago. Content. The content of Steve, sometimes I have to ask my wife, am I pronouncing it right or what? The content of Stephen's sermon was about the Lord. It was about the Lord, and it was based on God's word. And Stephen was a dynamic proclaimer of God's word. I tell you what, there's no reservation of his preaching. And praise the Lord for that. No reservation. And he preached the longest recorded sermon in the New Testament. A whole chapter of chapter 7. Completely from memory. Wow. I tell you, I can't do that. I tell you, especially if you know, I grew up speaking a language for many, many years. And then I came to the United States, I don't know a thing. All right. And you know, for being here in the United States for 18 years, of course, you got to learn how to speak English. I believe you have to learn how to speak English when you come to America. But I have to write it down because it doesn't record to my head right away. And I have like 6 pages. And everything that I have to say, I have to, like, you know, type it. I used to write it. I have to type them, all right? And 6 pages tonight, but I'm already on my almost at my 4th page, so I'm almost done. I have to be done by 7 o'clock, all right? But Stephen preached from memory, and he gave the entire history of Israel from Abraham to Moses, Egypt and slavery to the wilderness and the promised land, and he knew where Abraham was buried. When he died, and even give the names of the man he bought the burial plot from. And we can read in the whole entire chapter 7, he gave a great detail. He gave a lengthy sermon, very long sermon. And he has the courage to preach the gospel. The courage. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise the Lord. He spoke without weakness. Without weakness. And boldness. He's bold. And I believe boldness is the result of being spirit-filled. You know, when nowadays, you know, some groups, they don't know what a spirit filled means. You know, a spirit filled is when the Holy Spirit get a hold of you. All right, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of Stephen, and he was just preaching nonstop. He spoke without weakness. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 1:16. And also, he spoke of the nation of Israel, of the promise of God fulfilled in Christ, and of the need of people to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. You know what? He tells the people to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. To Jesus as Lord. And they don't want it. Those Jewish people, they don't want it. Many Jews believe that salvation came through keeping the law, that you need to keep the law in order for you to be saved. Now Stephen stands up and says, the law is fulfilled in Christ. So we are no longer under the law, we are under grace. And the Apostle Paul say it this way, Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believed. Jesus perfectly kept the law. He fulfilled it for us. You know, we're not saved by keeping a bunch of do's and don'ts, but through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ only. You know, and are you aware of that? Even many Christians today don't quite get it. All right? Many Christians have the idea that there is a great big scale and that your good deeds will be weighed against your bad deeds. And if the good outweigh the bad, the door to heaven is open. That's not true. That is not true. But the Bible says it's not like that. The Bible says that even one deed disqualifies you because God's standards are for perfection. I believe that. He preached Christ. He did not fool around with debating nonsense. He gave people what they really need. You know, he told them what they really need. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why when we go out, you know, we knock on doors, and what do we give them? We give them the message of hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, let's look at the punishment of Stephen. The punishment of Stephen. You know, this Greek-speaking Jews hear Stephen preaching, and they are furious because he is preaching changes to their religion. He's saying that Jesus is the Messiah, and they don't want to hear those things. Those Jewish people, they don't want to hear that Jesus is the Messiah. He's saying that Jesus, that paid the penalty for their sin. He is saying that faith alone in Jesus will bring salvation. You know what? This was a dangerous time to be in the east street of Jerusalem. At that time, it was dangerous time to be on the street of Jerusalem. Remember that the apostles had been warned not to do it. Then they had been beaten for doing it. What were the charges against him? Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Speaking of evil of God or something God deems good. Bible says in Acts 6:11, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous word against Moses and against God. And Stephen was brought before the council. In Acts 6:12, the Bible says, and they stir up the people and the elders and the scribe, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And there is another related accusation against Stephen. Stephen is preaching against the law in verse 13. And he never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. And Judaism of the first century had two great pillars of faith. Number one, temple and its sacrifice was one. And the second one is the study of the law was the other. You know, contrary to the Roman law, Stephen was taken by the Jews and stoned to death. So Stephen kept his eyes on Christ. Even as he was being stoned, he was not afraid of the consequences. He kept his eye on the Lord. And that was a good thing. He was not a people pleaser, but a God pleaser. And as he was dying, he prayed for them for their forgiveness, just like the Savior had done. Just like the Savior had done. He's like the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 7, I'm going to read verse 57 to 56. The Bible says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears because they don't want to hear about Jesus Christ, and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. Like the same thing as the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, into thy hand I command my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, what a way to go. Stephen was actually filled with compassion for his killer. He loved his people that stoned him. You know, he gave them the message, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know who was there also? It was the soul. Giving approval to Stephen's death. It was Saul himself. But within the next few chapter 9, Saul got saved. And he became the great apostle Paul. And God answered Stephen's prayer. Like Jesus, his last word, forgive them. One last hope that they will turn and respond in faith. You know, Stephen weighed a price. He counted the cost of the gospel. And then he stepped forward and said, I am willing to give it up all. I am willing to give it up all. You know, he sacrificed all and he became the first of many. Are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to give it up all? But, you know, one thing I have to say, counting the cost and giving up all doesn't always mean sacrificing our lives. Doesn't mean that you have to give your life. You know, you have to be martyred and be crucified on the cross. It doesn't have to be like that. It may be sacrifice of our time. I realize time is very important here in America. I know that. I tell you, you know, in foreign countries, there are a lot of people, they don't have jobs. And they have plenty of time. When you need them, they're there. Because there's no job. You know, sometimes they, you know, they rely on their older brother or older sister who works for the rest of the siblings. All right? And here in the United States, you can't do that. You got to work. You got to provide for your own or else you're not going to make it. Well, time is very important here in America. Everybody works 40 hours, and you know, imagine if you were $10 an hour, that's $400 a week, all right? Taking your taxes, you got $300 left, so in 1 month, you got $1,200, and then you pay your rent, $1,100 rent right now with one bedroom, and then your 40-hour job just went to your rent. What about your car? What about your groceries, your insurance, your health insurance coverage and all stuff? You know, you got to work two jobs. So what I'm trying to say, time is very important here in the United States. And it's hard to give up your time. But for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to give our time. For soul's sake, for those children, when you walk behind their door in their house, you see the mess when you walk in the house. And you see the father smoking, drinking, and it's unbelievable. You got to have that burden in your heart. You got to spend your time, give your time. It may be sacrifice of our time or our ambition. You know what? I don't know Billy Sunday. I just read about him. You know, I never seen him play baseball, even on TV. I really don't. But he gave up his baseball career to become a preacher of the Word of God. He gave up his ambition. Or maybe you can give your money to the Lord. I tell you what, you know, when you are in the ministry, when you're trying to reach people, sometimes you have to use your money, take them out to eat, or give something to your Sunday school kids. What? So you can get them back to the church. It's not bribing, but, you know, that's the way they can come to church so they can hear the Word of God. That's good. So maybe the sacrifice of our time or maybe our ambition or money. In my conclusion, could you be called a person of godly character or continence? What is your life full of? Is it full of the things of the world, like, you know, worldly things? Or is it full of the things of God? You know, the things of God will always last forever. What is your conduct like when you are confronted by the world? What is your attitude when you are confronted by the world? I mean, here comes Stephen, was confronted by the world, but by the grace of God, he was able to handle it. Are you able to handle the pressure at work? Do you have the appearance of the one who has been in the presence of God? Even though Stephen was facing possible death at the hand of the Sanhedrin, he faced it with calm assurance that Jesus Christ would rescue him and take him to heaven. Do you have that calm assurance today? Let us remember his life and his legacy. I hope, you know, we have learned something from the life of Stephen. And I hope your heart is blessed tonight. Father, once again, I just want to thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you that you have used me in a very special way, Lord. And I just pray that you will bless the remaining part of our fellowship, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.